April 20th, 2005, and I would like to call the House Committee on Trade and Economic Development to order. Today we have a public hearing on House Bill 3063. Mr. Administrator, would you like to give us a rundown?
I would be most happy to. House Bill 3063 authorizes the Oregon Department of Agriculture to assist in the construction and operation of livestock quarantine facilities. These facilities would be designed to qualify disease-free livestock for export. The bill is currently written, appropriates $8 million in general fund for the projects.
Thank you. I'd like to open up this meeting for public testimony. I do not have a list, but I know there are folks. Come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Dalton Hobbs, Assistant Director for the Oregon Department of Agriculture. And my responsibilities include the market development policy area for the agency. Our agency has worked very closely with the livestock industry over the last 20 years to develop export markets for live animals as well as for meat products. And in the last 2 years, in particular, we've seen an amazing increase in demand for live animals in Korea and in China, largely to serve the function of herd improvement, both for meat animals and for dairy animals. Unfortunately, mad cow disease came along and closed those markets down to exporters here from the United States. But 2 months before that occurred, 800 head of animals were shipped, of beef cattle were shipped from House District 59 to Korea. And this was the first of what were thought to be a 5,000 head consignment. Those animals are still waiting to be exported as soon as the BSE issue is resolved. 2 weeks ago, we had very good news out of Taiwan. The Taiwan government has now opened up, on a limited basis, exports of U.S. beef products to Taiwan. In fact, we are now in the process of developing a trade team to go over there to open up or to tell a story of Oregon beef products for that particular market. So we think that the future is very bright for the export of animals and beef products from the state of Oregon to markets in Korea, Taiwan, China. One thing that we do need to do and sort out, however, is to ensure that we have a world-class quarantine facility. Currently, we do not have that here in the state. USDA regulations require that animals must be quarantined prior to export, and that quarantine must take place no more than an hour away from the port of embarkation or the place that the animals are either loaded on the plane or loaded onto the ship. We think that this is an important need here within the state. In fact, our agency earlier this year applied for federal funds through the Federal State Marketing Improvement Program of USDA to do, indeed, to study the feasibility of such a facility here in Oregon. And this would be a review of technology, applicable regulations, both here in the United States and in Japan, Korea, etc. We will know in hopefully in June of this year if we are successful in that effort. So we have planned to do feasibility studies at the Department of Agriculture, and I notice here that the amendments that are offered would provide money. And I am glad to see that in the case that the federal funds are not forthcoming. So with that, I'll conclude my testimonies and be happy to respond to my testimony and be happy to respond to any questions you might have.
Any questions from the committee?
Yes.
Representative Bell.
Thank you, Chairman. There's a couple of things I'd like to know about you. We talked about herd improvement animals. I know that the shipment from the Dalles, I believe, was for consumption. What kind of calf are we looking for? What kind of product that we're looking for.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dallum, the herd improvement would be largely for dairy industries. These countries do not have the kind of cow-calf operations that we would see here in the western part of the United States. Constrained by land mass, you know, very large population. They don't have these wonderful open areas like you'd see in Grant County. So the herd improvement would be for dairy animals. However, there is a significant feeding industry for beef animals, and the cattle that were shipped into Korea were for that purpose. As I might have mentioned earlier, once an animal is in Korea for 180 days, it then becomes a Korean citizen. And so Korean beef processors are able to sell that beef as Korean beef. They have a very similar country of origin labeling law there. So if it's been resident in the country for 6 months or more, then it becomes a Korean animal, even though it was born here. So that's an important marketing tool for people in Korea, because like here, they like to buy local.
With a 180-day quarantine and certainly some time in transit, are we looking at what kind of an... I watched those leave the Dalles, and they looked like slaughter cattle, a little on the light side, but what specifically are the Koreans looking for?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dallum, the Koreans are looking for a high-quality feeder steer for beef purposes. They like to finish them according to their own particular marbling and feeding regimens and so on. And typically they're looking for black cattle is the preferred species.
And one more follow-up, Mr. Chair. You talked about a quarantine facility an hour away. The cattle that were shipped out of the Dalles were assembled at the stockyard there. Is that what you had in mind? Tell me more about this hour away. What does that mean?
It's very important to maintain the kind of biosecurity and chain of custody between the quarantine facility and the point of embarkation. And if there is too big of an interval between the quarantine facility and the loading area, there is opportunity for contamination or a breaking of the quarantine. We had a situation about 3 years ago where we shipped 108 thoroughbred racehorses from Portland International to Korea for use in the paramutual wagering over there at their horse track. The animals broke quarantine because the quarantine facility was not properly configured to handle horses. And as a result, I believe almost all of those thoroughbreds had to be euthanized in Korea because they did not have the proper quarantine certificates. And we don't want to have that kind of repeat where we have too big of a distance between the quarantine facility and the airport, too big of a distance between the quarantine facility and the port facilities that should they go out by sea.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to look at those quarantine rules. I don't know if anybody else is interested, but I would like to see what those look like.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dallum will be more than happy to get you the Code of Federal Regulations, which very specifically spells out what the quarantine regs and rules and regulations are, and be prepared for some rather weighty late-night reading to put you asleep.
I read land use this summer and found it enthralling, so I'm sure this will be a step up.
Okay.
Mr. Chair? Thank you. Good morning, Dalton.
Good morning.
Previously, I worked on this project whenever it was 2 years ago, and we brought the Korean delegation in. I got them with all the Cattlemen's Association and all of these individuals, and at that time we were working hard to use Coos Bay's quarantine facility, even McMinnville's, to ship to Korea. One of the problems, though, with having a facility in Coos Bay was the transportation out of there, and so a grant, you know, to help with the facilities doesn't help unless we have a transportation link. We need to connect Oregon to Korea somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any prospects of, you know, helping those individuals get the ports accommodating?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, in the Portland area, there currently is air cargo capacity on Korean Airlines should the cattle move out by air or other animals, racehorses, etc. And by sea, the vessels that are specially designed to carry live animals actually could service any one of the coastal ports that we have. For instance, the Port of Coos Bay would be more than adequate to handle the draft of these vessels.
And it's accessible right now?
Follow-ups. Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, Port of Coos Bay certainly is accessible to these vessels. And so these are typically smaller displacement vessels that would draw maybe 15, 20 feet. And so earlier it was possible to get this vessel through the Bonneville Lock and up to the Port of the Dalles to load the cattle. So it certainly could make it through the mouth of the...
Highest unemployment in the state? No.
Mr. Chair, follow-up.
Follow-up, Representative Nelson.
Representative Down, that's it. Could we have a little bit of the business in these areas that need it other than the Dalles? A follow-up question, please, to Ms. Hobbs.
Follow-up.
Thank you for working on this. Do dollars come from the federal government for these grants? Are they available?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, the Oregon Department of Agriculture has been fairly successful in competing for these. These are open and competitive grants that state departments of agriculture are authorized to apply for. I think we've been funded in 5 out of the last 7 years, so hopefully we will be funded this year under the federal State Market Improvement Program, or the acronym is FISMIP, but I know we're not supposed to use those here.
My campaign fund.
Be happy to.
Follow up. So if we can get the federal monies, why do we need $8 million of the general fund?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, for the just to clarify, the grant that we've applied for is approximately $70,000 to do the feasibility study. It does not cover any of the capital construction costs or development costs of this kind of facility. So we are in the very, very early stages of the feasibility component of this.
Follow-up, please.
Follow-up.
Transportation now has moved into this public-private partnership business, and I'm wondering, instead of dedicating $8 million of our general fund, if it would not be better to form a, you know, public-private partnership capability.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, one of the things that this feasibility study would look at in depth would be possible configurations from an organizational standpoint and a governance standpoint. And one of the major questions that we have is who has bottom line responsibility. And we really would want to look at, ideally, private sector operation and management of this facility, simply because it works best.
And a follow-up?
One more.
Oh, dear. I'll put all three of them in one then. No, I'm kidding. Feasibility study, if we're doing a feasibility study then, we do not, in this biennium, need these $8 million, right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I think it would be prudent first to do the feasibility study to prove the concept, to determine exactly what the money would be needed for, and then at that point configure the request for additional funds, if at all necessary. The $8 million that I provided to the committee was a very, very rough estimate of what a concept would be in terms of construction cost. And it could vary by as much as 100% either way. So I think that there's a tremendous amount of additional work that, you know, we need to do in terms of the planning and feasibility first before we sign the contract to build a facility like this.
And Representative Nelson, I would point out, I don't know if it's probably under the paper there, but the amendment that we have for this actually does eliminate that $8 million general fund request and looks at the straight as with the feasibility study money.
So, thank you.
Representative Ryler.
Thank you. I just wanted to know, is there a requirement for a state match for the grant that you've applied for?
Mr. Chair, Representative Riley, yes, there is. The state match is typically, though, in kind. And so what we do is the process works that we contribute our time, expertise, et cetera, to conduct the research. And the federal money basically pays for the consulting services, engineering, those kinds of things that we don't have the in-house expertise for.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Representative Dillon?
Yes, Dalton, you talked about a trade team. We've had discussions on three trade teams, perhaps, or is this one of the two? Chairman Len is putting together a trade team. We heard the Department of Economic Growth talk about an expedition, Taiwan, Korea, China. Is this one of those two?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dallum, certainly it could be. The governor of Idaho just led a trade team to Taiwan 2 weeks ago where they did work very hard to promote Idaho wine and Idaho beef. And we've been in negotiation or discussions with our State of Oregon office in Taipei, along with the Agricultural Trade Office in Taipei, to see if a similar opportunity would be available for us. And if so, the Oregon Department of Agriculture would assemble a group. It would certainly be possible to take a look at coordinating that with a legislative mission over there. And that's certainly something we can take a look at with this committee.
So at this point in time, you don't have a who, when, where, any of that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gallup, no, we're still in the conceptual stages right now.
As a member of this committee, I would certainly like to see some cattle producers on any team that goes. People that know cattle.
We'll make sure that happens.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions? If I may, and this is a little bit parenthetical to this bill, but could you give us the two-minute quick and dirty state of the state, if you will, on the beef cattle and ranching industry in Oregon right now?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, despite the mad cow outbreak, our cattle producers are at or near all-time highs on hoof costs, or near a price that they're receiving from the animals on the hoof. What we've seen is really kind of two tracks that are occurring here in Oregon in the cattle industry. One is the phenomenon that we see with Oregon Country Natural Beef, Painted Hills Beef, startup Strawberry Mountain Beef in Grant County, where they're basically doing identity-preserved, all-natural, hormone-free kinds of beef. And this is a niche product that sells for premium prices and is been very, very successful for those who have engaged in that. On the other hand, are traditional cow-calf operations where our producers will simply produce a feeder calf, a feeder steer is doing very well as well. These are animals that are typically exported outside of the state to feedlots east of here, and they're slaughtered and processed outside of the state. So both segments of the industry are doing pretty well. The concern, of course, this year is drought, condition of the range in eastern Oregon, and costs of fuel. These are significant inputs, the high prices notwithstanding could have a very strong impact on the bottom line for these producers.
Can you give us a rough estimate of how big this industry is in terms of dollars for the state of Oregon?
The cow industry, or the cattle industry in Oregon, approaches $1 billion in terms of farm gate value. You know, it's not quite that much, but it's when you add all of the kind of collateral things, the barbed wire, the trucks, that kind of thing, it's certainly in the $1 billion range, right, which is a significant traded sector component of the state's economy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you. Any other questions?
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I would like to call Mr. Ralph Goodwin, if you want to testify today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't prepare any remarks for this hearing. I'm Ralph Goodwin. I'm President and CEO of Old West Federal Credit Union, headquartered in John Day. We're a community chartered credit union that serves eight counties in eastern Oregon. much of our lending is agricultural based, a lot of small cow-calf operators, and then up in the northern part of our charter, Umatilla County, we serve a lot of the dry land people. But I know I speak for all of these producers when I say that this type of program is very very much needed in that area. Previous gentleman mentioned Strawberry Mountain Beef. We were very instrumental in making that happen, and I do have a copy of a newspaper article about that operation if any of you have an interest in it. But we need to, in the east part of the state, we need to produce something there that's paid for by dollars from out of that area, and this type of thing fits us very well. If we want to compare unemployment rates, Grant County is usually there number one or number two, and we have a lot of folks that know how to handle cattle, so this type of facility would provide some much needed employment.
Excellent. Any questions for Mr. Goodwin?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Representative Riley?
You mentioned you have a newspaper article about that.
Yes.
I wonder if we could make copies of that real quick.
Certainly, yeah.
Thank you.
We could make copies, and right now we can just get them to you.
Yeah.
Later that might be more
expeditious.
Okay. Yeah, get them to us later would be fine.
Any other questions of Mr. Goodwin?
Just Representative Dell. The strawberry operation, is that for export or is that for local market?
Right now, they're primarily in going into restaurants in the Northwest and in Hawaii.
So some offshore, not exported, but offshore. One of the things that I would follow up with Representative Nelson, that in John Day, and I'm going to ask Ralph this question, probably logistics are the most difficult piece of the puzzle, is getting things in and out of John Day. And with that, I would chime in with Representative Nelson that transportation is going to be the key to success of any economic endeavor we take.
Can't connect anything without it, can you?
Yeah, we cannot connect Oregon without a highway. And we need them desperately going north and east and west out of John Day. South, I'll throw that in there too.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Anything else? Okay, thank you, Mr. Goodman. Appreciate it. Let me close the, if there's any other discussion on House Bill 3063. I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3063. Is there any other business that any of the members would like to bring before the committee? If not, we are adjourned.
When's your bill coming, Scott?